Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lion. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I'm drinking coffee with an enormous amount of Baileys. My throat's still a little raw from being sick. And, it's a great choice on Sunday.
Yeah, especially Sunday where we are starting late on account of my, roller derby day.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I had three games to ref in Med Hat. The last one wrapped up around, 6 o'clock. Then we got food and drove home. Med Hat's, 3 hours away. Just a thing. Also, we happened to cram 5 adults and all of their skating gear in my car, which, you know my car, kind of impressive.
It's big enough, but
it's big. Yeah, but I mean, these are adults, and you know how far my seat has to go back. So.
I understand. It's like when I cram people into my Saturn. See, you're talking about your car and the amount of room that it has, and I'm just it's not that bad.
Right. Your boat.
Exactly. You guys will listen to Jaded Gamercast. Let's talk a little bit about what we did this week in hobby. So for me, this 2 weeks in hobby, a lot of it consisted of being ill and dealing with ill children. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a hobby, but it did allow me to take a couple of days off and work on some stuff. So I did a bit of painting. I'm repainting my Y-Wings for X-Wing. And was kind of putting a couple of other odd things together for D&D. I did actually run episode 4 of Horde of the Dragon Queen, which was pretty interesting because we didn't actually finish it. It was the first time we didn't finish it just because it's a very open-ended. It's the first really, really open-ended episode where kind of how you approach the problem is totally up to you, and you can get it done super quick, or if you're inexperienced, it will take me a very, very long time. However, I'm slowly molding this group of people into proper role players. It was very impressive.
It took us a long time.
Are progressing much faster than you guys did. Yes, that's the truth. That is exactly what it is. But it was still a lot of fun. Actually, it was really entertaining. The fourth episode of the book has something like, I would guess, 20 to 25 named NPCs that I have to manage.
Oh Jesus! And you do voices, so yes. I mean. That is tough because more than two, you start to mix them.
Well, yes. True. I mean, they're from the same region. They can sound the same. But I always have Deckard Cain in my back pocket, you know? And that's when you know I'm running out of voices when I pull out Deckard Cain. That's when you know. That's when you're just like, oh, he doesn't have that many voices left over. But it was really fun. We enjoyed ourselves quite a bit. And it was good stuff. I did get to play some X-Wing last week as well, which was pretty fun. I played 2 games with that X-Wing build that I was kind of looking at. And won one, lost one, which was cool. I was looking to play
the all Y-Wings?
The all Y-Wings, correct.
Got it.
Yeah. So I was looking to play some Firestorm and some Planetfall, but it unfortunately didn't happen. So... yeah, that's the way that's going. And then TV's starting to return, so I've been watching a lot of TV. What about you, Nathan?
Wow, you know, because we missed a week, I played in a War Machine tournament. I've gotten in 3 more games of War Machine in the interim. I've been doing a lot of painting for my Scorn, kind of getting all them, or at least trying to get them done up. There's another steamroller at the end of March I'm going to, where I'm hoping to have both of my 50-point lists painted, but... realistically, it'll probably just be 1.5. I mean, it's still a ton of guys that's the thing is this is the biggest game that I have gotten into in a while because it's more than 6 dudes. It's, you know, something like that. But having a lot of fun. My first real steamroller where, you know, I lost my first 2 games legitimately because I just didn't know. You know, it's that War Machine gotcha where it's just I just didn't know what their armies did. But I feel like I'm getting better because I'm not fucking up with my army so much.
Quite as much.
Yeah, which for War Machine is kind of like that. That's the learning curve where it's just first you have to learn the game. Then you have to learn how your caster and your force play. Mm-hmm. And then it's just about get the experience so people stop fucking you. Because you actually can be you're running this caster. So I have an idea of what you want to do. So now I'm going to play to stop that. But yeah, so like I said, it was a lot of fun. Went 1-4, my only win against my wife when we were game four playing as the only two 0-3 competitors there were. However, I should have won my game three because he assassinated my caster with 2 seconds left on his time clock before I would have won on a clock out. And that was after there was a mathematically impossible charge, which he then called a judge over, and the judge completed it for him, despite, like I said, it being mathematically impossible. Where I was just like, it's just not possible. You don't have enough movement, and I've got a model blocking. He's like, no, it's fine, because I'll just move up to the base of that model, and then I'll just start like pivoting around, and that'll work. I'm like, dude, you can't do it. So he like moved into base, and he called the judge. He's like, I have 1 inch of move left, and I'm trying to get into contact. And the judge proceeded to move the model 2.5 inches, and he's like, yeah, there, look, you're in. And I was like, you fuck off. All right, okay, whatever. Who do I appeal to? What is the Supreme Court of War Machine tournaments?
You do
Like, that's why
not,
you're just
because
no,
it's War Machine.
right? And that's why I was just like, yeah, all right, okay,
It's
I
War
guess you
Machine.
get it.
War Machine is the like the sheer weight of stories I've heard from people that are exactly like that, who play War Machine and they're like, yeah, it's totally fine until somebody tries some fuckery, and fuckery just seems to be perfectly accepted in the War Machine community. It happens so often. You would think that people would like play a certain way, but the way the rules are designed, it kind of leaves it open for these levels of fuckery that that always just, yeah, it burns you. That's why Mike Frank quit and is now hardcore into Planetfall and Firestorm
Yeah,
Armada.
fair enough. No, for me, it's just like I enjoyed my time, and that was more of like a heavy sigh. Because, again, as I have said, everyone that will listen, even had I won that game, as I should have, there was no way I was winning my last game. Like, there is no way I'm pulling a 2-2 day. Like, winning that game just means losing my last game as opposed to the other way it went down. So, I'm not
Right.
upset. It's not like I was like, I was robbed. No, whatever. It is what it is. I'm just hoping to not be in a race for last place at the next steamroller. That's my goal. That's improvement, is don't have it come down to that last game. Like, if I can win a get one of my first three games, I know I'm out of the running, and that's a successful day.
Right. All right, let's move on to the weekly listener poll. The question that we had for you guys was, does a game like Warhammer 40K need a scaled down, in brackets then 40K Lite version of itself in order to bring in new players by promising fun, fast, and cheap gameplay? So this was a question that, because we forgot a weekly listener poll question like 2 weeks in a row, that kind of came out of the release of Firestorm Task Force, which we had just kind of had the last episode talking about, going, you know, like, was this kind of an interesting choice? You know, this is now what would essentially be the third space game that this company's released. So, a resounding vote. 70% of you said yes, it does in fact need a scaled down version of 40K Lite. And this is something that I kind of want to.
Go for it.
Okay. This is something that I kind of want to explain a little bit further before we really get into the discussion, because didn't have a chance to actually ask it on the show, so I was kind of going with it. One of the first comments that came in, fucking Todd, basically said, like, yeah, it's called Kill Team and nobody cares. And that's the truth. Like, nobody cares about Kill Team. But one of the things that I think sets a game apart as being a light version of the game is that you don't have still the same rule book to play with and just a slightly different variation on the size and scenario. You really need to change the mechanics and remove mechanics in order to make the game simpler and, you know, fun. Like, if you played 40K, but you did something similar to Mercs, where you had a movement template as opposed to, you know, doing it something different, right? And that's kind of more what I was aiming at than just a smaller version of 40K. 'Cause yeah, we get it.
Well, yeah, because that was going to be my comment is very similar to Todd, where, you know, not only Kill Team, but fucking 40K in 40 minutes, the old combat patrol of 400 points with a modified force orc. Like, it is one of the things where I feel like the Games Workshop, I don't know if it's the design studio or if it's always just kind of been White Dwarf, feels the need to have smaller, more characterful 40K, and it's just never caught on. But what you're saying is kind of an interesting skew to that, where you're saying, no, this needs to be a standalone game. this doesn't need to be a modification of the existing, because the thing with Kill Team, like you rightly pointed out, I can't play Kill Team, even with the Kill Team rules, without also reading 200 pages of 40K rules.
Correct.
Like, it, you know, so I mean, I think, I see where you're going with that. Sure. Like, I guess the thing for me is, does it need one? Absolutely. Its price point is absolutely retarded, and I would love to see a small version of 40K that jaded old fucks like us can get behind. You know, if all I have to do is pick up two boxes, that's $100, and paint half of the contents mm-hmm. in order to start playing games, hell yeah, I might be way more into starting leagues that just kind of do that kind of stuff and just playing games like that. But, you know, as I've said before to you know, both on and off the show, I am so far removed from Games Workshop at this point in time that I would have to get in from zero and treat it like it's a new game that I'm unfamiliar with, and the price point to that is just bonkers.
Yeah,
I simply could not afford to do so.
Yeah, I was talking with John Kingsway and I basically said the same thing, you know, because we were playing X-Wing, talking about X-Wing. And he's like, well, no, it doesn't cost that much. I'm like, okay, really, man? Like, let's go add it up. Like, let's go add up a 40. Let me go add up a tournament Tau army. Let's put it all together. Let's talk about paint, primer, glue. Let's talk about rules. Let's talk about everything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, wow. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that the reason why I put this question up and the way I phrased it the way that I did, does it need it? You know, as opposed to do we want it or do we think it would be cool? Is really just a question of, like, it's still the big, you know, it's still the 800-pound gorilla, you know, it does it need to have something like that in order to bring in new people or to kind of begin sustaining itself again, as opposed to kind of hemorrhaging players?
I think it does, because at the end of the day, it is really hemorrhaging players. You know, I've said it before, look at 40K event attendance in Alberta over the last 5 years, and it has shrunk by 75%.
Right.
And when you look at tournaments, yeah, every 40K tournament is pulling in 30 people, and 20 of them are exactly the same, hitting up every single event. Is this a sustainable community? No. I've talked about it a number of times on this show when I say that when it comes to introducing new people to the hobby, and I've never had more people interested than now. This is an era of Zombicide and Blood Rage and all of these interesting board games with minis that people have a lot of fun of and want to look at, hey, what's this miniature wargaming thing that you do? Like, tell me about it. I don't even bring up 40K. And whenever right. people are just like, hey, what about that? You used to play that a lot. I tell them, don't. Like, don't even look there. Don't get into it. You are not going to enjoy it. It is so much money. You know, and there's so many other alternatives. And I feel like I am not alone when it comes to trying to convert this. I am not seeing growth in the 40K community. I am seeing stagnation and shrinkage every single year, year after year. So does it need something like this? Absolutely it does. It needs a way for existing players to say, no, come try this game. This game is fucking awesome.
Well, and I also voted yes, but primarily because I feel like the game is ballooned to sizes that are unmanageable. They're unmanageable from an existing player base. They're unmanageable from a new, you know, entry-level player base. When we're talking about the sizes and how they've changed over the past, let's say, 10 years, armies are huge. They're absolutely massive now. I mean, talk to any 40K player and ask them if they can fit their entire army into a single case anymore. No, you need the fucking mega cases now, because you can't fit a single army into a single case anymore. Now, I'm not saying there's not upsides to this. Bigger, cooler models. It looks fancy on the table, having a big old horde of models on the table. But I think the game is ballooning to a point where it is unmanageable, and even existing players look at every new edition and they look back on the years. I have a pretty big orc army, and it's considered small at this point. Like, I don't have nearly enough orcs to do what I need to do now because of the way that the game has changed. And I think that putting something in like a small entry level, fun, fast, cheap version of 40K, even if I'm not going and buying more models or buying anything other than the rule book, because of course they're not going to give it away for free.
No.
You know, I can still go pull my orcs off the shelf and play with them because they would work in a system like this, unless they do some wackadoo likes. It's a base. All the bases are shaped like stars.
right.
You know, things of that nature. But yeah, I think they definitely would benefit from it. And I do think that they need it, if almost exclusively for the fact that you have to appreciate the fact that for years, bigger was better. And every year things got bigger, and every year we were okay with it. Every year we were like, yeah, bigger's fine. Bigger's fine. Like, yeah, it's, instead of playing 1500 point games of Warhammer, we'll play 1750. Oh yeah. No, we'll play 2000. Oh yeah. We'll play 2250. You know, we'll play 2500. Right. And we just kept doing that.
Well, like I remember when Vets Knights was 1,000 points.
Yeah.
And I have never met a 40K gamer now in sixth or seventh edition who's played a game that small.
Yeah.
like literally, because at 1,000 points, that's only 3 Imperial Knights.
What the fuck?
Well, that's not fun.
How am I supposed to make that work? Yeah, and I think that it does need it, because they have to start making the game a little bit more modern, and they have to start realizing that in terms of the fun scale of playing a game of 40K versus playing a smaller, faster, funner game, let's say X-Wing, for instance. It just can't compare, and there's a reason why people are jumping ship and moving over and kind of getting into this kind of stuff, because you can get just as much enjoyment out of playing a game of X-Wing or playing a game of Firestorm or playing a game of Malifaux or fuck, pick anything that isn't 300 models in size.
And it's a fraction of the cost.
Well, it's a fraction of the cost, but the amount of time even you put into it painting just doesn't have to be fucking crazy. You know, me sitting down and painting 4 Y-Wings is fun. I'm enjoying it because it doesn't feel like work. I never look at it. I'm just like, oh, this is going to fucking take forever. Same thing with Firestorm. After I finished all of my Dindrenzi models, I'm now looking at my Aquins going like, okay, it's time to start fucking. And I was like, wait, no. No, if I paint anything else, I have to finish painting my Planetfall. I'm not going to start painting my... I don't need to start painting my...
I mean, Mike Frank's already fleet. Made us all look bad.
Right.
No, but I mean, like, you know, it's an interesting point because, I mean, here I am. I've been a big proponent of Horse Heresy. And Horse Heresy has been the kind of last shining bastion of Games Workshop for me personally. And I have a good amount of stuff in my house. I have a Betrayal at Calf. I have some Forge World Mark IV Marines. I have an incredible fucking Fire Raptor Christmas gift that Johnny Wong got me, which was just blew me away. I've got so much stuff, and even when I look at just the contents of it, it's like 50 models. And some of those models are just fucking enormous. Like, the Fire Raptor is not a small model.
Right.
And it's just the idea of starting it fatigues me, because like, even when you look at games like Wrath of Kings, which, you know, I will rave about forever, because as I told Terry, right now it is probably my favorite minis game that I play. At the biggest, if I were to build a battle size force, it is less models than what I currently have for Heresy, and I know that I still need to get a second Betrayal at Calf in order to make the Heresy work.
Right.
So even though it's just like I've built a list that's literally just 2 Betrayals at Calf and a little bit, like, I think the Fire Raptor I have and Conrad Kurz, all stuff I want to paint, all a lot of fun.
You get to a point where it feels unnecessary.
The sheer volume of models makes me not want to start that project.
Right.
And I think that's the problem that Games Workshop is having right now, because like you said, everything was bigger, bigger, bigger. Let's go bigger. Let's have more models. Let's have bigger models. Let's just, you know, the point sizes are scaling up and up and up. And yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to play with all of your toys, but it is so beginner averse. It is so hard to get someone to start into that. And I mean,
it's veteran averse too, man.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. All right, let's go to some comments here. Andrew C. says, I think it's too late for 40K. I wouldn't even play that game in League format, which is essentially what this is. However, for getting into any game, I love the idea. It gives you a place to start by drawing you in with lower price point, and you don't feel so overwhelmed. Plus, if you don't like it, you're not out hundreds / thousands of dollars. Going balls in on games is getting harder as gaming circles hop from game to game, trying to fill the void that games like Warhammer Fantasy, and even 40K have left. On a personal note, Spartan is quickly becoming my go-to for games, and I'm really excited to see them expand like this, and I'm looking forward to cursing them for my lack of money in the coming months. And you know what? Like, obviously that's a personal opinion, and looking at it and just saying, it's too late for 40K, fuck it. I don't, like we talked about a couple episodes back, is it too late for them? No, not at all. There are things that they could do. So I absolutely don't think it's too late for 40K because I still love 40K. So Besmer said, I reckon smaller scale, faster paced games are good for getting new blood or inactive players into any game. At the end of the day, a lot of people simply lack the time, money, or inclination to get into a full scale war game, let alone the painting side of the hobby. And he's kind of just mirroring what we were saying there. We got a lot of other comments here, and a couple of people commented on the poll. Boo. but we got some other stuff we're going to talk about here. So thanks to everyone who posted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jdgamercast.com. We'll have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if you remember. All right, so we're going to move into model of the week. It's going to be a bit of a mixed bag because this is a lot of stuff that we're just going to kind of go over quickly. We're not going to do a lot of speculation. We're going to be talking about the Assault Helixes for Planetfall that were recently released on the store at Spartan Games, if you guys want to go check those out. And then we're going to do our bullshit roundup, which is we're just going to talk about a lot of random bullshit that's either slipped through the cracks or can't really fill a whole show. And we're just going to give you guys all that sweet, sweet juice in your face.
As we do.
As we do. Ralthosa. So we've got the Ralthosa Assault Helix. What we get here is a large walker and a couple of small walkers. So if we take a look at what's actually in there, we have one massive heavy battle suit and five light walkers. Now, light walkers, we haven't actually seen them in the game yet, have we? This would be a first, if I recall, because everything has either been infantry or big walkers.
Yeah, I mean, or tanks or things of that nature. I mean, all of the lights for Ralthosa kind of look like walkers.
Oh,
so it's
that's right.
Yeah, it's not too far out of the realm of possibility that this is just a third class of light vehicle.
Right.
I don't know. I really like the lights. I love the look of them. I think that the what looks to be missile launchers on their backs are super cool. I want a different / better view of the big walker because from what I'm seeing right now, it's not really impressing me. It doesn't look as cool as all of the existing stuff that's come out. It just kind of, it's got four legs and
It's a different aesthetic, which I found kind of interesting.
It's a very different aesthetic. Mm-hmm. This is more less similar organic to the Firestorm Task Force stuff, and a hell of a lot less organic than all the rest of their Planetfall stuff, which is kind of focused on spiders, scorpions, dragonflies.
So I found this model a bit peculiar. It's not that I don't like it. It's just, I agree with you. I would need to actually get a good look at the model to really understand exactly what's going on here. But for the most part, I think, it's fine. There's nothing bad about it, right? And rules are good, then everything's fucking gravy.
Well, but even then, the rules have to be exceptional because, especially as a fucking Ralthosa player, what do I got? I've got a rock solid core Helix. I love it. There's no reason not to max it out as much as I can. Right. I have a great Leviathan. I have an even better ground attack aerial Helix that has another Leviathan in it. I have the All-Star.
I was like,
Helix.
We're not going to speculate. We're just going to talk about the
model. Right. But I've got the All-Star Helix of the Recon. And like that's the thing where it's just like I feel like this is the game of Planetfall where it's just like now that we have a whole Helix, it's just like everything competes. And you're just like, it's just not good enough. And that's why I'm like, maybe if the model's great, but the rules have to be magnificent. Yep.
So the true surprise here is the Cerulean's. The Cerulean Assault Helix does not have dinosaurs or hot tubs in it. It's actually a return to form to the original look of the Cerulean's that we got in the first Helix and some of the other ones, like the Heavy Helix. So when I sent this over to our local Planetfall Cerulean player, he was over the moon happy at the fact that he did not have another hot tub release. So let's talk about the Cerulean Corrective. We got two heavy battle walkers and two medium battle walkers. These, again, being the digital models, I think, it looks pretty cool. I think the big mega gun looks kind of cool, and it's got a punchy fist. So we're going to obviously get some Leviathan close combat action happening there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I actually like the look of them. I think the shape of them. I would love to see kind of what the underside of them looks like. Just kind of because when I look at these, I'm like, okay, where's the head? I want to know where the head is, right? Like that's, and I can't tell if the gap in the middle of what appears to be the head has like a fucking dinosaur driving it.
I think it does have a dinosaur
I'm
driving.
hoping it's not a dinosaur driving it, but I
Yeah,
mean, it
but you know
could
what?
be.
Even if it is a dinosaur driving it, that is so easy to put
Yes.
something like a fucking piece of plastic card
Right.
and just fill it in. You don't
Just
have to
paint
care
it over.
if you don't like it.
God, fucking
Yeah, I
dinosaur.
mean, this is the exact opposite of Ralphozo, where it's just like Ralphozo have so many good models with really great rules. This one's kind of interesting. Whereas here you're just like, yeah, no brainer. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
Why
exactly.
would you not want this as a Cerulean player? Because it's not dinosaurs in hot tubs.
So we move on to the Terran Alliance, and whoo, Terrans are probably happy. Two heavy battle walkers and two medium battle walkers, similar to the what we saw for the Ceruleans in terms of composition. However, these actually look more like mechs, right? Like the mech battle
Yeah, more like
walkers.
the Odin, more like their existing
Yes, very much
Leviathan,
so.
which is super cool for them.
I think it's cool just because, you know, Assault Helix is being opposing on the Helix chart to Leviathan Helix. This actually feels like a decent swap in terms of coolness factor. I love the look of these models. I love how they kind of have the flat tops, very blocky looking, and the big what appears to be a railgun on either arm with like cannon on the other. The little guys with their minigun. I think it looks rad. I think both of these look really cool. I think they're well designed.
Yeah, I mean the little
They
one's
remind
very.
me of like Warhound Titans, these
See, I
little
was
guys.
going to say the little ones remind me of ED-209, which is still a fucking
Perfect.
winning thing. Go RoboCop.
Good stuff. All RoboCop all day. So that move brings us on to the Aquans.
Pass.
We get more Trifoot Walkers.
Pass.
I know you hate the Trifoot Walkers, but I don't think they're that bad.
Oh,
So you
it's.
get two Battle Walkers, and you get three medium battle tanks, which is kind of interesting because obviously these are some different style battle tanks. They appear to have missiles, so maybe some anti-air built into that there, but. I think the problem with these is that when I was willing to say that like the Aquan Leviathan was kind of interesting and kind of cool looking, because of the way it was shaped and all that kind of stuff, these scaled down versions of it don't look good. I
No,
think the
they
tanks
don't.
look cool, but the walkers look kind of
Yeah,
silly.
I mean,
I think it's just too much to do on a small base.
Oh, totally. All of the Aquan skimmers look great, and the fact that you're getting that same aesthetic, beautiful. I agree with you. It looks like the anti-air missile heads off of their drop site asset
Yeah.
or their sky drop assets, whatever those were called. So yeah, easily the choice there. But good Lord, Tripod Walker, pass. Just I would. Pass. Aquan players, pass.
It's not a dinosaur in a hot tub, but it's maybe only a step above it.
Oh, but it's like a half step.
Right. That's where I'm going with that.
Got it.
So that brings us on here to the Dendrenzi.
Give me like 10. Like, this is so cool. I play Ralthosa, and I was just like, you know, I don't need a Leviathan, and I don't need my own because I can take Dendrenzi robots with swords and shields.
Two battle robots and three medium missile tanks is what you get in
All
this
look
box.
incredible.
All these models look fucking cool. Really, really, really cool. I know that Maddie, frequent guest host Matt, saw these and immediately was just like, God fucking damn it. Because now he has the RSN Assault Helix to compete
Because it
with
has
it.
the robot.
It does also have a robot with a sword, but it has anime wings,
Oh,
right?
shit. Well, yeah, because he can't take the RSN assault, this assault, and a
And his
Leviathan.
big Leviathan. So he has to he's starting to feel the Sophie's Choice moments when he's looking at all these things here. But man, I love the look of them. The fact they got their big cool swords is awesome. The tanks look super rad. The missile tanks are really, really cool. What they are holding what appear to be shields, which I think is very cool as well.
Yeah, I mean, this might be something. I mean, I'm not expecting it to be shields, but I am expecting it to possibly increase their DR on their first hit or something because Dendrenzi don't use shields, but super fucking cool looking models. And again, bring it home with the best looking
shit. Oh my god, the director ones look so fucking cool.
Here's the thing, I hate the directorate aesthetic in space, but in Planetfall, they just fucking crush it. They crush it out of the fucking park. Like, yeah. I look at directorate in Planetfall, and I was just like, god damn, like, okay, I'll ally in a Leviathan, because it's the best Leviathan, and I'll ally in the, god damn it, like.
Yep. I think the thing about the directorate is they have the 100% most cohesive army.
Yeah.
Everything looks like it's supposed to be part of the directorate. As soon as you see it, you immediately know it's directorate. There's no confusion. There's no like, huh, why'd they do that? And looking at these models, the underslung weapons are the same as the underslung weapon off of the Leviathan, which is super fucking cool. Actually, the headpieces on this look like they're similar to the front end of the Leviathan. And then we've got these sweet ass, whatever these fucking arm cannons are, man. Like, they just, I don't even know what they're for. They just look so damn cool. And then the tanks, god damn it. Oh,
those fucking tanks.
The, like mega rail cannons with, like, the little cylinder, like the charge cylinders on the back of it. God damn it. I can't wait to use these things.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I looked at, like, I even posted that when we saw all the pics, and I was just like, once again, director are the big fucking winners. Like, I find Ralphos is very hit or miss. There are ones where I'm just like, I fucking love the look of this, or I just don't care about it. But again, everything directorate. You're just like, yeah, I could own that and that. And
so
that.
For all of you Firestorm Armada players, what you'll also notice on this release, which I just noticed right now, is that all of the models from the Firestorm Task Force box sets, the starter kits, are available separately. So if you want to get your hands on the light cruisers with upgrades and the light frigates, you can get those in a box for $30.
£30.
Or £30, yeah, £30. Which is only £10 cheaper than the dual box set, which gives
But you're getting more cruiser. Of that one fleet, right?
Well, it's one less cruiser, right? And one less, or two less upgrades, essentially.
Yeah.
It is a better bang for your buck to buy the starter sets, but you're not getting full squads. And we all know Firestorm full squads are mandatory. So I just think it's very cool because, again, they put this release out when they put out the Task Force release. So anybody who's wanting to get their hands on those light cruisers and light frigates to round out their ships for their particular fleet or their five particular – god,
listen, again,
more than happy to do so.
I'm very happy here because almost all of my box sets are like I play one but not the other, as I said last episode. So for me, I'm very happy. I'm probably gonna pick up the Ralthosa one because I find that the Ralthosa fleet's the one that I do the most tinkering with.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing. I will almost guaranteed I will pick up the Aquan one. Because that's the next fleet that I'm doing. But, like, the Directorate one, the Dendrenzi one, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see what the rules for these look like and see whether or not I really want them. Yeah. But I know that I'm going to need some sort of Tier 2 to fill out my my Aquans. And if I don't want to go heavy cruisers and I want to do some different stuff, a squad of, like, carrier cruisers or cruiser carriers, whatever they're called, and another squad of frigates, light frigates, is perfect for keeping my point cost down and allowing me to take more Tier 1.
You know, the one thing that I do find interesting about the solo race boxes is the fact that Aquans and Cerulean's are the only two fleets that typically get cruisers and squadrons of four, but both of those boxes max out at three.
Yep.
And I feel like that's... I don't know. It's going to make it harder to, in my opinion, compete for those slots. You know, when it comes down to if you're a Cerulean player looking for another Tier 2 to go with your gunships, because let's be honest, gunships. Are you going to want to go with a squad of four cruisers, maybe with a heavy cruiser upgrade because it actually fits in really well with Ceruleans?
Yeah.
Or are you going to want to go for the squadron of three, knowing that it's a lot easier to get battle log points out of it?
Like I said, we have to wait for the rules, right? We have to kind of wait and see what happens with these guys because they're light cruisers and light frigates. So we don't really know if there's going to be some adjustment to the way that they play or how many points they give up or anything along those lines, right? But keeping that in mind, obviously nothing here is going up to squad size four, which does make it a bit of a strange proposition. However, depending on how much the upgrade cost is, a squad of three upgraded to a carrier cruiser, if that was a squad of four, that might get a little bit sketchy. So I kind of understand why they've done it, because all of these are light cruiser and carrier cruiser upgrades, right?
Yeah.
Or with the exception of Terrans, which I believe is torpedo cruisers. Carrier cruiser. Yeah, Terrans is torpedo cruiser. Carrier cruiser for Directorate. Gunships for Rel'Thoza. And gunships for Ceruleans. So yeah, interesting stuff there. Like I said, I want to look at the rules. Okay, so models. God damn it, it's gonna be a long one. It's time for the bullshit roundup, everybody. Yay! Let's talk about the fucking dwarf. The dwarves, the mega axe, mega dwarf.
But they're so bad.
So. Games Workshop. Booster Gold. Booster Gold. listen.
No, because Booster Gold had knowledge of the future and would be able to warn Games Workshop away from doing this garbage. They'd be like, no, this is what drives you, your business into the ground. You go bankrupt.
It looks so silly. And it's funny because when like you go to pre-orders on the Games Workshop site, and one of the things that they have is you can get for $1,200... the Grand Fjord.
No, just Fjord.
The Grand Fjord? Got it.
The Grand Fjord.
Grand Fjord. It's just this wave of orange. It looks, all you see is hair.
Well, that's like, because it's all Photoshopped. You know that there's only like five of those models painted.
But still,
and
like
Photoshop.
It's all hair. Like looking at it from a distance, it's just orange hair. It's an army of orange hair.
It looks like a fucking Poison concert in '89.
Oh god,
like,
it looks so bad. I'd rather play an army of Juggalos.
You know, I hate to admit this, but I would also rather play an army of Juggalos. Yeah, but they released that. It was Harlequins. We hated the book.
Ooh, fair enough. Although, you're right. Can't save it.
Yeah, okay. So, as far as I'm concerned, this dwarf release has been a train wreck.
Oh.
To me, dwarves are iconic. And I get that. I get that Slayers are the only thing that you as Games Workshop have that is copyrightable and trademarkable as different from an existing fantasy dwarf.
Right.
But dwarves are iconic, and dwarves in fantasy have always been super cool and super iconic. And this was an opportunity, especially for your relaunch of the game, to give people what they want. And did they want plastic slayers? Sure.
No, nobody.
I was going to say, maybe.
There might be a guy.
But at the end of the day, what did we want out of the last dwarf book that we didn't get? We wanted fucking steam golems. We wanted mechanical fucking monstrous infantry golems. Where the fuck are those? Instead, we get the derpiest of lizards with the weirdest saddle on the top, which is basically just like a plinth that a dude stands on. Like, do you even know?
They couldn't
even
model the saddle.
The moment that beast walks, this dwarf is fucking falling. Unless he's just got like, all he does is work core because it's that balance, man. Like that beast starts,
balance, yeah.
That beast starts running into battle and it's all core. He's not swinging shit. But like I said, it's just like, we get stupid as fuck lizards. We get orange hair as far as the eye can see. We get the silliest of characters, including Johnny Housekey and fucking Joey Pikeaxe?
Poleaxe.
Like, Poleaxe.
Super duper mega Poleaxe.
That is so fucking racist. Our like three Polish listeners are so offended right now.
Well, it's the guy who rides the ridiculous lizard. Mm-hmm. And I assume it's as long as it is so that he can actually reach somebody with it, but it's just so ridiculous. And
it's the motion of the ocean, right?
The blade is in the shape of an E for some reason. I don't know why. The saddle for this thing,
listen, we all know the E's cut better.
Looks so, yeah, E's do cut better, to be perfectly honest.
That's why they call it
an X-Acto knife, right?
No, but like I said, it's just like, these are all just so stupid. This is a monster that literally nobody has asked for. You know, Plastic Slayers would have been fine and great. We get that it's a dual kit, but why the fuck did you double down on it? Why are we getting Slayer characters riding Slayer beasts, riding, you know, fucking with my Slayer keys to my Slayer axe? And you're just like, fuck right off. Like, this is a fetishization in fantasy that we haven't seen before. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, 40K is all about the fucking wolf ears and blood drops and fucking garbage like that, but at least in fantasy they've been able to say, but dwarves are fucking dwarves. They got runes because that shit is cool. They are armored up to the fucking teeth, and all of the last dwarf book release were ace. The fucking hammers looked great. The ironbreakers looked great.
Yeah, they did a great job on those kits.
All we needed, if you insisted on plastic slayers to ensure your fucking patent stays put because you released a new model in the last 20 years, great. Give us plastic slayers with weapon options, but give us fucking mechanical steam golems. There is so much that is unique about your universe, and you get to write it new because you killed it. You literally blew up your world. You get to do whatever the fuck you want, and you basically said, all of the mountain holds, all of the armor, they're all dead. Everyone is naked, always.
Yeah. There it is, man.
Did the Sigmarines take all the armor?
That's the one. Well, I mean, a lot of the metal is what's burnt into their skin. Those runes that they've burnt into their skin. And apparently, instead of making armor, they took all of the metal that they had and turned it into ridiculous hats that even wood elves would go, oh, really?
Yeah, well, high elves. Wood elves tend to not wear hats.
High elves, yes. Fashion, I'm sorry.
But the high elves would just be like, dude, tone it the fuck down.
They're just so stupid looking, and it fucking kills me. I hate them. I hate them so much.
They're all really bad.
Speaking of hating it so much, Wolfen. We got to see a picture
of
the Wolfen. Okay, so basically,
these really remind me of the old, and like I just talked about it, where it's just like when Games Workshop released the Metal Possessed that looked stupid and everyone hated them and no one bought them. Welcome to Wolfen.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're goofy looking, their proportions are weird.
Their proportions are ridiculous.
They're all like wolf legs. Like, I get that the whole purpose of Wolfen is these are people that are being extra mutated by the wolf genes.
Correct. They're slowly turning into wolves because that's how science works.
It's so crazy that it just starts at the toes and works its way up.
It does.
For every one of them.
So you get little teeth, you get sideburns, and then it just starts in the feet, man. Stage two, feet turn into wolf feet. I absolutely hate the fact that because they're Wolfen, they've decided that all of their weapons and gear has to become as ancient and ridiculous as possible, where they're like, oh yeah, shields, hammers, axes. We can't understand bolters anymore. Like, it absolutely drives me nuts.
Don't you remember when they introduced 13th Company Wolfen with Eye of Terror? Wolfen didn't use weapons because they were mostly werewolves. Like, these
were
basically
power-armored
werewolves.
They were straight feral at that point.
And they were straight feral. They did not have access to weapons, and in exchange they had rending because, let's be honest, the only thing more frightening than a werewolf is a genetically modified superhuman werewolf.
Well, yes, but these guys aren't at that point. These guys still style their hair.
So these are like half-wolfing.
Right.
You know?
Like, it's a step back now, because I still loved the original Wolfen from Eye of Terror where, yeah, it was werewolves wearing power armor. I thought that was fucking sick.
That was cool as fuck. Yeah. Now these are just wolves.
These are so dumb.
These are normal space wolves with the goofiest of hairstyles.
Oh man, the fetish,
the most awkward of poses, and
the
they all
here, man.
Inexplicably have wolf legs from the knee down. All from the knee down. It's batshit crazy how bad these models are.
Yeah.
And the worst part is I'm sure that knowing that it's a new Games Workshop release, these models are pointed at 7 points less per model than they should be, and everyone will fucking buy the data sheet that has Wolfen. Because if there's one thing that's predictable, it's 40K players.
Well, oof, definitely. I think the problem here, the core problem that I have with these, is that they completely lost their way. Like we said, the original Wolfen were kind of cool. They were super, like, the idea made sense, and you were like, oh, that's what happens to them. Holy shit, that's actually kind of interesting. But we've taken a step back. Now it's Ice Claws and the crane style Daniel Sun come at me, bro, crane kick pose.
You know, all you have to do is sweep the leg, but.
Right, exactly. You know. Sweep the leg, put him on a body bag, Johnny, so on and so forth. But, like, these are these are just extravagant Vikings. That's it. That's all I see. And it just, it kills me. Like all of the skulls and I can't, there's nothing good. I don't think there's anything good I like about these models.
Oh, there is absolutely nothing.
I don't think there's a single thing I can look at here and say.
Oh no, listen, they are, they're a fucking disaster. These models are so bad. They are an absolute step backward. And they're a huge fucking step backwards from what they used to have. And that's what I don't get. I hate them.
You
I
want to talk about the problem with overabundance of rules. These models have, and again, for Wolfen, which before were, they have claws. They have 9 special rules. They have then an additional 7 options with 3 sub-options. Like, the amount of work you have to put into a squad like this, like, look at the number of options is fucking insane. The special rules, why do they have so many special rules? It should be fucking rending. Done. That's it. But look at them. Look at all the fucking
Holy
rules.
Shit, yeah.
Like, that's insane. Why are they so crazy? Like, why are they so complex now? I don't get it.
Right.
And they're dumb. They're just, I'm sorry. It's fucking dumb. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the bullshit roundup wouldn't be complete without looking at the pure hilarity that is Games Workshop's Build and Paint Tiny Plastic Men. .com releases, where Games Workshop has discovered that you can change the color of your plastic.
Right.
Amazing, amazing stuff. So what you get in the build and paint boxes is the oldest of the oldest models they own. Like, the oldest models that are still available on the shelf are available to you.
That is the old truck, isn't it?
It's the old
truck. Shit.
It's the old land speeder. It's the old bike.
It's the old everything.
It's
okay.
It's the old Terminator, too, by the way, if you didn't notice that at the bottom left corner.
Holy shit. I guess, don't throw the old molds away.
This baffles me to no end. I don't understand why. Because the funny thing is they're like, okay, for Space Marines, we're totally going to make them blue because Space Marines are blue and you can just take some white paint and you can paint the edges, or you can take some yellow paint, paint the edges, and then you're done. You're ready to go. So what colors do they give you? Blue? All right, why do they give you blue?
Right. All right. There are two things going on with this, and this is why I said that I think that it's actually an interesting conversation. The first is that the contents are not finalized. Honestly, I think that this idea has been on ice so long that these models actually existed. Like, sure. this is a 15-year-old idea, no. And they just didn't update the fucking art. But second, these are not going to be sold in Games Workshop stores. The goal for kits like these is to be kind of put into big box stores, department stores, toy stores, model cars, that kind of stuff. And to kind of sit beside there and try to tap into that market. The reason I think that this is an interesting move, I don't know, I'm not even going to posit a guess on whether it will be successful or not, is that these are kits that are aimed at people that have no idea what Games Workshop is, have no idea what Warhammer is, and just want to buy a fucking model kit to build and paint. And we know people like that exist. I mean, you walk into a hobby store and see the 700 different model cars. We know people like this exist. To me, I suspect that they are trying to test different retail branches with the long-term goal of shutting down all Games Workshop stores ever.
Right.
No. But hear me out, right? So if you're putting these into department stores, into toy stores, if you're going to get these into big box chains like fucking Target and Walmart and Toys R Us, even if you are charging less for a kit like this...
You would have to be charging substantially less.
These would have to be at a $20 to $40 price point at best.
I don't know, man. That's a lot.
Easily really low. But again, we know from when we worked there, When we worked there 10 years ago, we got 60% off, and you right. never sell to anyone, not even staff, at a loss. So we know that at 60% off, when the prices were 40% lower, they were profiting. So we know right. the markup of Games Workshop shit. They could have a price point that low and play the volume game. Games Workshop has treated their retail stores, all of their brick and mortar stores, as nothing but overhead to be cut over the last 6-7 years.
Yeah,
so decent. Are you telling me that if you could generate enough revenue to shut those stores down because you're selling these, then just sell the game of Warhammer through their web store and Rogue Traders, that they wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
Remember, this is a company that honestly thinks that they don't make a game. This is a company that thinks that they are a model-making company. And to me, the idea of creating kits like this that would move into all of those big box stores and those big retailers, that's a strategic move for them to continue this fantasy land of, we don't make a game, we only make models. And that's why I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that like they'll shut down all of their brick and mortar stores next year. But like, if I were to look at a long-term strategic corporate plan, because they all have them, you can't tell me that at the end of their 10-year plan, it ends with the entire dismantling of the Games Workshop brick and mortar stores and all associated overhead, because it is their number one cost.
Well,
moving all Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, and fucking Horus Heresy sales to either directly through their website or through their direct sales accounts.
Because,
I mean, this is the company that, when they were the only events in existence, were just like, the community runs better events than us. We're going to let them do the better work instead of everyone seeing it for what it was, which was an accountant looked at the cost of you running events and said, we don't make enough money, kill it.
Right.
That's why I feel like this is very interesting, because this is a move that Games Workshop has never made before.
You're blowing me away right now, man.
Did you not think of it? Did you?
No,
just
I just it. I why? Why does it even fucking matter? Like, this is such a stupid kit, and it's such a stupid idea to go yeah. into any other store, like a Toys R Us or a hobby store or something like that. And I don't even know a single hobby store that would carry garbage like this, because this is, you're not going to make money on this. You're not even going to sell this crap.
Yeah.
The problem here is, even if they put this at a $20 price point, you and I know how much a Skylander costs.
A Skylander?
Oh, like okay. The game yeah. Skylanders.
Yeah, absolutely.
A fully built, pre-painted model with a fucking microchip in it that plays a video game. Okay?
Yep.
No kid is going to go through Walmart and see this and go, yes, I would like to drop $40 on that, when they can yeah. go buy 4 Skylanders. There's no fucking way. And like I was talking about before you start going into it, these, even if they're not finalized builds, the fact that they put these out on the table, it is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I'm guessing that this is some special plastic that'll take paint without primer. But I'm guessing there's also a good chance that it's not, and that the paints that they give you will not paint on these plastic models.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it needs to, because otherwise...
I'm saying it should be. It kind of has to be, but I highly doubt that it will be. So here's the thing. You made the fucking plastic on the sprue blue and then gave us blue paint. Why the fuck did you give us blue paint for blue plastic models? You got black to paint your tires black, maybe paint your gun black. You've got red for a model that has almost no red on it. And then even the paints that they have on the table is like black, blue, and brown. It's so dumb. It blows me away how dumb it is. And then when you've got this bright blue for the other guys, you've got it's kind of green plastic for the orcs. And then the orcs that you have painted out there showing this have completely painted over the green. So you're not even showing people, hey guys, using the colors we provide you, here's what this can look like. They're literally saying, you're going to have to repaint them because this isn't going to work.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that's always been Games Workshop, where they're just like, the back of the box, where it's just like, You too can paint to this heavy metal standard using nothing but tin bits, ultramarines blue, and white. And you're like, I count 11 different colors, right. And I know that you have highlights, and I know how the heavy metal team paints.
Right.
Stop fucking lying to me.
Well, and again, you can see here, like, they're not doing highlights on these models, like the show models that they have out. It's just flat colors, very simple. Somebody did a clean paint job, and then that was the end of it. But again, why even make them? Why? I'm done, dude. I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah.
It's just it. It's too stupid for me to process. even if the idea is, if you want to play with them unpainted, now you've got a blue force versus a green force. But if you want to paint them, go buy a $20 can of primer. Go buy another $40 or $50 worth in paints and then paint them up. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, what are you selling? And again, I'll compare it to Skylanders. I'll compare it to Skylanders every day of the week. I'll compare it to action figures every day of the week. And I'll compare it to very, very simple pre-painted model kits that you can buy at places like Walmart every day of the week. And when their price point is like $10, you're not competing, and you never, ever will. It's just the truth. Because they're not going to open the box and go, oh, look at this. This is a cool model kit that I can do. And if they're looking for an actual model kit, when they open this up, they're going to be like, oh, so I just glue a fucking arm on, hey? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't hit either market. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Listen, I get it. For me, I don't know.
I don't understand.
I think they're stupid. The models they have are ridiculous. The fact that these are all ancient fucking model kits is just fucking ridiculous. But I'm with you, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's a bad idea. And I think that they are being super duper hopeful to think that this could sit in a not Games Workshop store selling not their game. Because again, like, when we worked for the company, how many people would walk in and just be like, I get to paint this shit, sign me up. We had to run intro games. We had to talk them up. This is a cool game. We invited them back every now and then. Like, the people that were really on the fence would show up to Vets Night, see like fucking 20 people packed into the store, all having a good time.
Oh, and these are the final boxes, by the way.
These what?
These are the final boxes.
Oh, they are so stupid.
If you go to Tiny Plastic Spacemen,
uh-huh.
Hello, visitors from Bell of Lost Bowls. Bell of Lost Souls, Spiky Bits, and Daka.
Lost Bowls.
But you know what I'm saying. Bowls of Spiky Bits and Daka. Please note that we had zero indication that GW were trying to get into big stores like Target, Tesco, Walmart, etc. Please see below for details on where they are in the toy fair. We will ask them directly tomorrow, the 28th of January, and we'll update this post with their reply. This week, we are at the toy fair, blah, blah, blah. Cool. Good Lord.
Yeah.
That is just spectacular.
Again.
We had zero indication that GW are trying to get into big school.
But why would they? It is so off the wall for them. Because again, like, remember how I told you how Games Workshop acts at these fucking business conventions, when they're just like, this is how you run paint lessons with our paints, and they just show you how to waste their own paints so you have to buy more.
Yep.
You know, like, this is the way they do things. So the idea that they want to get into Target with their 30-year-old models is bonkers. Like, it's such a weird, random, out of left field decision. For me, I'm only looking at it because, like, if you notice, I'm looking at the one that has the blue sprue next to the green sprue with the built land speeder, and the box is kind of out there. If you look, it says Series 1, 6 great kits to collect.
Mm-hmm.
They already have plans to keep pushing this. They already have plans to get this into those distribution lines for big box retailers, and you and I both know that the volume for those is unlike anything Games Workshop has ever sold ever in their life. And if all of those retailers, if Walmart says, all right, we'll buy 50 million kits to put in to all of our stores, you know that they're paying a deep discount. Games Workshop's still profiting, but again, are they going to lock up long-term contracts? Because if they are, that's when you're going to see them start closing brick-and-mortar stores. That's when you're going to see them doing those things, and that's why I'm just like, this is Like, as stupid as it is, because it is, as miniature gamers who are familiar with 40K, it's an idiotic idea. These are stupid products.
They're terrible old models compared to what's out there today.
Absolutely. But
the
but at the end of the day, if you're a kid, let's say you're 7 years old and your parents let you pick a model because that's what you're into. Because again, I was that kid. I was the kid that always wanted to get the model car and build it and paint it.
Sure.
And your option is a fucking 1970s Thunderbird or something that you think is cool looking, like maybe the Dreadnought with Terminators. What are you going to pick if the price is the same?
And $46 Canadian for the Dreadnought with Terminators.
Are you kidding me? Fuck them. They're never going to sell shit.
I'm saying $46 Canadian for the Dreadnought and the Orc Ardboys mob, $27 for the land speeder or truck, and $18 for the bike with captain and Orc war bike with knob.
Wow.
Right?
Got it.
I mean, this is so fucking bananas. I can't. It's a goddamn clown show.
Yeah, it's.
I don't care. It hurts my chest. Just the fact that they're selling like the old molds blows me away.
Right? It
absolutely blows me away.
It's. You know, that was surprising to me because at the end of the day, Games Workshop does make some good models. As much as we like to take the piss out of them and how neither of us get Age of Sigmar, just from any point in it, conceptually, any of the models, like, we just don't get it. But Games Workshop has some really cool-looking stuff. I love most of the Dark Eldar range. Necrons are always a great choice for just cool-looking things. Mm-hmm. Chaos Space Marines, same kind of deal. And instead, they're releasing models that are older than my involvement in the hobby. And I got in 98, which, you know, was 18 fucking years ago. And when I got in, everyone was complaining about how old the Orc truck was.
Yeah.
What the fuck, guys?
Right there with you, man.
What the fuck, guys?
Now, hey, things change. They could just be mock-ups. But the fact that it's like in a shelf at a toy fair, god damn it. And then of course, like, we're starting to see new Blood Bowl models and nope, sorry.
Right.
I can't do it. The new Blood Bowl stuff that I've seen, oh fuck man. Like, that game just looks really dumb. It doesn't even look as good as like other football based fantasy miniatures.
Right.
So stupid. Football based fantasy miniatures games.
Again, you know, like, doesn't this go back to everything that we were talking about when we're just like, Games Workshop left all of this shit, they got out of the market, and everyone else just jumped in and filled it up. And who gives a shit anymore? Because you're right, none of those models are really grabbing my attention. I'd rather go, you know, pick up Dreadball or Chaos Ball or... I mean, don't get me wrong, I probably won't pick up any of them, but it's still one of those things where you're just like, whatever. Like, yeah, okay, your models are very, very good for 2009. Good on you.
Well, and part of the reason why I wanted to talk about, like, just the bullshit roundup was, it you know, it's relatively soon after our Here's What Games Workshop Can Do to Save Themselves episode, and we were like, this is the bottom. Nah, we were wrong. No, this is not. It can still go far, far, far lower. But on a high note, we did get to see a digital model of Midas Bentacor for Xenos.
Yes!
Xenos.
Oh, as soon as I saw that, I was like, something so typically Bentacor, which, of course, was a bait and switch, but still fucking fantastic.
You don't spoil no nothings.
I'm not spoiling nothings. All I'm saying is Dan Abnett's a fucker.
Yeah, he is a fucker. But
he's our kind of fucker.
Yeah, like, I'm amped. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So, holy shit, man. The fact that we're starting to see more game models, and the game models look very true to form, because I wouldn't say that's exactly what I pictured him looking like, but that's pretty damn close.
Oh, I love the jacket. I love that he had the fucking jacket. I love it.
They could have gone hardcore, crazy, psycho fetish, and they didn't. Mm. And that's what makes me happy about it. So I'm looking forward to that. That's for damn sure. There's not much else to say about it because we haven't seen a whole lot of anything else, unfortunately. If you go to Pixel Hero Games, they do have another picture of just a Chaos Space Marine. There is a what appears to be a shot of Eisenhorn looking pretty old and fucked up. Some other shots of the characters. You can see Eisenhorn, Betancourt, Fischig, stuff like that. Just kind of like odd shots of the video game appear to be renders. It all has got me fucking amped.
I'm super stoked for it. I mean, we will forever take the piss out of Games Workshop for choosing no-name studios, but at the end of the day, Eisenhorn is such a strong IP. Dan Abnett told a wonderful story. All the source material is there. You literally just have to, especially because it's a Telltale style game where it's going to be the sort of story and going through the story. Just stick to the source material. Yeah. I mean, how many times do movies make this mistake when it comes to comic book adaptations and they fuck it up? Stick to the source material and let's fucking give her.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that shit. I'm really hoping that it turns out to be pretty good. So, yeah. outside of that, man, I don't think there's anything else. I don't think there's any other wackadoo bullshit happening right now. I don't even really have anything for something shiny, unfortunately, other than to say DC's Legends of Tomorrow is very entertaining.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely
is. You know what? It doesn't surprise me because Arrow is very entertaining. Flash is entertaining.
Flash has not been very good.
Oh, really?
It's just all relationship drama. Like, something will happen and you're like, oh, okay, we're back to it being interesting again. And then it'll just be like crying and relationship drama. And that's pretty much it. So it's unfortunate that they're doing so much of that as opposed to kind of focusing on the superheroing stuff. But because he is a young character, it's a lot of the awkwardness and angstiness and, you know, all that shit that Arrow doesn't have and you're happy it doesn't have. So,
well, yeah, because I mean, like, fucking Oliver Queen's seen some shit in Arrow. Oliver Queen is just like, no, man, I've killed fuckers. I've watched people die from me. I have been tortured.
That's right.
Whatever. Relationship drama? What the fuck is that? Like, yes.
No, his relationship drama, the biggest extent of Oliver Queen's relationship drama is, listen, we can't be together because I'm pretty sure someone's going to kill you if we are. So, bye. But yeah. Supernatural started back up again, which has been pretty good. And yeah, we're getting close to a lot of TV kicking back in full gear. So good stuff. And, again, if you're not watching The Expanse, you need to fucking watch The Expanse.
Okay. You know, you are not the first person to have told me that Expanse is very good.
It's really good.
Is this sci-fi to finally, after like 10 years, match Battlestar Galactica in our hearts?
It could.
Ooh.
It could. It absolutely could. It's got all the necessary components, and it when I describe it to people, I've always just kind of described it as like a combination between Battlestar Galactica, Firefly, and Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it could absolutely do it. And everything that we're seeing so far is really good. Every episode has just been top notch, and the last one was really cool, really fucking exciting. Well, dialogue's all really witty, so like, yeah, it works really well. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Excellent. But hey, let's actually remember to have a weekly listener poll.
Okay.
And by saying that out loud, my brain is going crazy in terms of trying to think up one. So why don't you think of one?
Okay. Let's go to our difference of opinions. Do you think that the Games Workshop build and play kits are a good move for the company?
All right. There it is. There it is. That's the weekly listener poll question. All right. So that's been JD GamerCast for this week.
Huh.
Cheers. I don't know. My brain just turned off there for a second. Let's try that one more time.
It is almost midnight on a Sunday.
I know. That has been JD Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.